The second case on today's docket is United States of America v. Michael Stephen, case number 05-2100. Mr. Branstrom.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Thomas Branstrader. I was appointed to represent Michael Stevens in the instant cause. We come before this court with the respectful request to find that the sentence imposed upon Mr. Stevens' plea to the one-count indictment was unreasonable. We believe, and it's our respectful position with this court, that the mandatory minimum of 10 years would have been more than sufficient to meet the goals of the statutory sentencing scheme. We understand we face a presumption of reasonableness. But we ask this court to find the rare instance where, in this case, although within the guideline, although on the far end of the guideline, the sentence imposed by the district court was unreasonable. We ask this court to find that based on our position that two of the 3553 factors were not addressed, not considered, not applied in this situation. Specifically, the nature of the offense and the characteristics of the defendant. I believe it's important to note to this court that in the offense itself, it was an offense instigated by the government. In March of 2003, Mr. Stevens was approached by an individual who had told the government that he thought he could get Mr. Stevens to supply drugs, specifically crack cocaine, and specifically a certain amount.
Why do you say instigated by the government? There's no entrapment in this case.
It is not entrapment, Judge.
It's not even sentencing entrapment.
It is not sentencing entrapment. It would be imperfect that it is. There's no evidence that Mr. Stevens ever bartered, ever argued, ever set the amount, set the price, or set the type of drug. There's no evidence in this record that Mr. Stevens had ever done this before.
Was it because he was making so much money that he just, they had knowledge of it and they just set it up?
Well, that's correct, Judge. And I'm not sure on this record, though, we can safely assume where these drugs came from or if Mr. Stevens was going to profit from them. There's any myriad of factors which could be applied to where Mr. Stevens came in contact with these drugs. Nevertheless, it was not Mr. Stevens who contacted the government agent. It was the government agent who contacted Mr. Stevens. And we asked the court, the district court, to consider this factor in the complete absence of any prior criminal drug contact that Mr. Stevens had with the criminal justice system. Further, Judge, we asked the court to consider the characteristics of Mr. Stevens himself. And I cannot stand here and say that Mr. Stevens was a good driver, because he was not. The government made much of the fact that Mr. Stevens had been arrested almost 30 times in his early, he was only 28 as he stood before the court. He'd been arrested almost 30 times, almost two-thirds of them were driving on a suspended license. That is, Mr. Stevens' problem in life was getting behind the wheel of a car. That is something we do every day. But Mr. Stevens, from an early age, did not have the privilege to do that in Illinois. Does that speak well of Mr. Stevens' ability to follow the law? No, it does not. But it also does not speak to Mr. Stevens' involvement in the drug trade, in violent criminal offenses, in gang activity, or any situation where he ever hurt anybody else. His criminal history is made up of driving offenses. He had one felony conviction for a driving offense. It resulted in his incarceration in the Department of Correction for 2 years. Again, it was a driving offense. Somewhere early on in his driving career, Mr. Stevens lost his license and was never properly advised how to get it back. And his problem was he kept driving, and kept getting stopped. And every time he got stopped, he got convicted, which just furthered on his suspension. Nevertheless, his background was not one of a violent man intimately involved in the drug trade. We do not believe that the district court considered these factors. In its ruling, in its imposition sentence, the district court went down the list of defendant's objections and factors and went down the government's list of objections and factors, merely reiterating them without giving them any analysis or application, and finally, in summary, said, I will find for the government's position and imposed a 180 months, which was almost at the end of the guideline scheme. Because of the amount of drugs involved, there was a mandatory minimum sentence in this case, and that was of 10 years. It's our position then, it was our position in the district court, it's our position today, that that sentence more than satisfies the twin goals of the sentencing scheme. That it's fair, it's consistent, and it meets the standard now that it's sufficient but not greater than necessary to impose punishment on Mr. Stevens for supplying the drugs to the government informant. Mr. Stevens was 28 years old. He had two children. Although he had no high school education, he was employed from time to time in laborer's jobs, machinist jobs. Again, and I can only reiterate, there is no prior violence in his background. There's no guns. There's no gang activity. And it's our respectful request that this court find that the sentence imposed of 180 months on these fact situations is the rare instance where a district court sentencing under the guidelines will be found to be unreasonable. No further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Ms. Harba.
May it please the Court, Maribel Fernandez-Harvath on behalf of the United States. I'd like to address some of the points that counsel raised in his opening argument. First, counsel argued that the nature of the offense and the characteristics of the defendant, two of the 3553 factors, were not addressed by the court. In fact, the court did address those factors, but simply rejected the defendant's arguments. With respect to the fact that the government was the one who instigated contact, there is no evidence that the government in any way instigated or caused the defendant to produce an amount higher than he normally would have. And in fact, the defendant was able to procure the 55.5 grams of cocaine in the same day. With respect to the characteristics of the defendant, counsel argued that he was arrested 30 times. In fact, he was convicted 28 times. That's not including the number of arrests that the defendant was not convicted for. And while two-thirds, there were a lot of offenses for driving offenses, the fact is that there were other offenses as well, such as reckless driving, possession of cannabis, attempted obstruction, criminal trespass to land. And these are all offenses that the judge considered, which were in as part of the defendant's pre-sentence report. And even though counsel argues that the criminal history is not violent, the fact is that the district court found that the criminal history accurately reflected a guideline calculation. So in other words, the defendant's criminal history, although it may not have a lot of violent convictions, the fact that he had so many and that he was a recidivist was properly reflected in a Category 6 calculation. And some of the offenses were as recent as 2004 and 2003. Because the district court addressed these characteristics and rejected them, it is the government's position that the defendant's sentence was in fact reasonable based on the defendant's extensive criminal history and the serious nature of the offense.
Thank you. Mr. Brandstrader, anything further? Okay, thank you. This case will be taken under advisement, and you were appointed in this case. We do thank you for your vigorous representation of your client.
Thank you.
Thank you.